In this class this quarter, we've been taking a look at things that will help Christians mature, remain strong, remain faithful. There's two things I think that really form a basis for keeping Christians faithful and mature and helping them to grow and helping them to remain connected. Now, there's a lot of things that we're going to take a look at. There's a lot of things that are important in our Christian lives. But prayer, which Jerry talked about last week, is one of the things that I'm confident that each one of us needs to improve on in our lives. I know that I do, and even though I'm sure some of you spend a lot of time in prayer, I feel confident that all of us could spend more time in prayer. And since Jerry talked about that last week, we won't spend too much more time on that. And the other thing, which probably has been mentioned also, but since I was gone for a couple of weeks, I wasn't here to hear it. So if we did talk about it, you'll have to hopefully listen to it again, and I'm sure some of you weren't here either. But the other thing that is a real foundation that we need for our Christian lives is Bible study. Because if we don't have a continuing, deepening knowledge of the Word of God, it's going to be almost impossible for us to grow. You know, if we come to worship service in class, we're going to get some food, we're going to grow some, but we're not going to make nearly the strides that we need to as if we are into the Scriptures on our own and studying. Plus, you know, when Paul was talking about the Bereans, you know, he said that they were more noble because they were the ones who studied the Scriptures to see if the things they were being told were true. Instead of just assuming that what I say is true, I used to try and tell my kids that, but they quickly learned not to always believe that. But, you know, instead of just believing that because somebody says it's true, we need to make sure that we look at the Scriptures to make sure that, number one, what you hear me say and what I say are the same thing. Because sometimes we may say something that makes sense to us, but it doesn't necessarily make sense to the people that are sitting in the audience, or may even be that because of their background, what they hear is not what the teacher is trying to convey. And then we just need to make sure that you know, that what we're hearing is in accordance to God's will. So what we're going to be doing in this lesson is just taking a look at some reasons why to study the Scripture. And then we'll be actually taking some looks at some ideas of effective ways to study and some of the things we need to be aware of as we're planning our studies. I want to start with two passages that have to do with why that we're commanded to study. And then we're going to take a look at several different things that are promised to us if we study the Scriptures. And as we go through that section, there's going to be quite a few Scriptures for us to read. So I'm going to break them down in sections at a time and then just have people read them. So what we'll do is we'll just go through about 10 at a time, and then we'll just start and work through. But before we started with that, in 2 Timothy 2:15, the Scripture says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." You know, so Paul, in writing to Timothy, is talking to Timothy, and by extension to each one of us, telling us that we need to know the Word of God so that we can handle it properly, so that we can accurately handle the Word of truth. And then in James chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "Put aside filth and wickedness, and in humility receive implanted Word, which is able to save your soul." So for our salvation, we have to receive the implanted word. And the way that we're going to do that is by looking into His word with humility and with sincerity. But as we look into some of the blessings that can be obtained through studying the Bible, things that are going to make us be firm in our faith and help us to grow, let's take a look at, we'll start, David, if you could read Psalms 1 and 2 on that. Jerry, if you could read Joshua 1 and 8. David, 2 Timothy 3:15. Let's see. For the next one, if we have someone who's on this side who would be willing to read, it would be 1 Thessalonians 4:1. On that, if you could just raise your hand so I know that one's covered. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Okay, thank you. Psalms 19 and 7. Okay, thank you. Okay, David, if you would, please. Psalms 1, 2.
Okay, Psalms 1, 2. But if he does, you'll prosper.
All right, thank you. So if we have the attitude that we need to, the law of the Lord, the Word of God is going to make us happy. Our delight is going to be in God's word, and so we should have joy and happiness from studying His word, and as we study, right? Joshua 1:8.
You will have success.
All right, thank you. So Joshua is talking to the children of Israel. At this time, they were getting ready to go into the promised land, and he's telling them that. They need to meditate on the law of the Lord, and that by keeping God's word in front of them, by keeping it in their hearts and minds, that's what their success is going to be based on. And as they went into the promised land, they were initially successful in taking the land as God had ordered them to do so. But over time, some of that focus that they had on obedience to God slipped. And they started having some problems because they did not clear out the land as God had told them to do so. All right, 2 Timothy 3:15.
Okay, 2 Timothy 3:15, which is in Christ Jesus.
Okay. So the Scriptures is where we're going to find salvation. Through the Word of God, we're going to find what we need to do to be saved and how we need to live. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Okay. So through the Scriptures, it's going to teach us how that we need to live, what we need to do, and how that we can abound in the grace and service of God. Okay, and Psalms 19:7. Okay. So through the Scriptures, through the Word of the Lord, it's going to convert our souls. It's going to direct our life. It's going to guide us in what we do and how we live. All right, let's go ahead and come over here to this section. And we need Psalms 19:8. Mike, if you could read that one. Matthew 22:29, Novell. Psalms 119, verse 130. Russ, if I could get you to read that one. And then Psalms 19:8. Henry, would you be willing to read that one? Psalms 19:8. And then, Psalms 19:7. Actually, if I could get you to read that one too, Henry, since you'll be right there. Okay. So the Scriptures, the words can make us wise in our actions and in what we do. Okay, Mike, if you would, please. Psalms 19:8. So the words are going to bring joy to our heart. They're going to give us comfort and gladness. Okay, Matthew 22:29. Okay. So if we know the scriptures, it's going to help us to keep us from going astray in what we do in our life, in what we may believe or what we may teach. So by knowing the scriptures, it's going to help keep us from going astray. Okay? And with... is this wise? Okay. Also, Acts 20 and 32. Or did I have a different one for you, Ross? Did I have a Psalm 119, 130? Yeah, if you'd read that one, please. Okay. So just as the words of God, as the scriptures are going to keep us from going astray, they're going to give us understanding. They're going to give us, the light for our path. The scriptures is referred to as a light in several different places. You know, as a light into a path, as a city that sits on a hill cannot be hid, as a candle. You know, you're not going to hide it under a bushel. So the word, the teachings from the Bible, the scriptures, are going to be a light for us, as well as to keep us from straying. Okay. We'll go ahead and go on over here to the far corner. Acts 20 and 32. Orlando, if you'd be willing to read that. Acts 20 and 32. And then Lawrence, Psalms 19 and 11. Paul, Romans 6, 17 and 18. Okay. So the scriptures, the words are going to build us up. They're going to build up our life. They're going to build up our faith. They're going to build up our relationships. They're going to build up our understanding of God's will. So we need to get the material to build with, and that's what comes out of God's Word. Okay, Psalms 19:11. Okay. The Scriptures are going to provide a warning to us and to other people, to keep us from getting into trouble and to doing things that are detrimental to us. And so we're going to get that warning from God's Word. Okay, Romans 6, 17 and 18. You're right. You know, the Scriptures says a lot about that we have free will, that we can decide how we're going to live our life and what we're going to do. But it also teaches that with that free will, we have to make a decision. And if we're going to follow God, we become His children, we become His sons. But in another sense, we become His slaves, because we've committed ourselves to do what He wants us to do, to work in service of Him. And to do that, you know, we have to know what He wants us to do. You know, it's like when your kids are little. You don't walk into the room and say, "I want you to do what I'm thinking of," you know, and then walk out the room again. Now, with some of our kids, you might have got the same result as when you told them exactly what you wanted to do. But, you know, to get them to do what you want them to, you have to give them the directions. You have to tell them, "I want your blocks picked up and put in the closet. I want your clothes, the dirty ones in the dirty hamper, the clean ones folded up and put in the dresser." You know, you have to give them the details. And in God's Word, He gives us the directions. He gives us what He wants us to do. And if we're going to be His slaves, we need to get into His Word to understand what He wants us to do. Now, we'll go ahead and go over to this side, since we've got a few more people that have come in. Bob, if I could get you to read 1 John 2:14. Steve, Hebrews 2:1. Les, Psalm 73, 1 through 7. Tommy, Psalms 119, 104. And Ken, Psalms 119, 81. So 1 John 2:14. Okay. So his word is going to make us strong. It's going to give us the strength that we need to overcome Satan. Because if you remember on the temptation, when Satan tempted Jesus, the way he dealt with those temptations was to go to the scripture. And he was able to quote the scriptures that gave him the strength to resist the temptations that Satan brought before him. And that's going to help give us strength to resist the temptations that we have when we know the scriptures and we know where we can go to deal with that temptation. Okay, Hebrews 2:1. Okay. Just a warning that we've got to continue to keep our focus on the Word of God. I mean, sometimes it can be easy as, you know, once you have become a Christian and you have a good knowledge of the Scriptures to kind of let your Bible study drift a little bit. Maybe not focus on it as much as you can, but just a warning to all of us to continue to focus on our study to keep us from drifting away. Okay, Psalm 73:1. Yes. It helps, the knowledge of the scripture helps us to focus our trust in God. We take a look at some of the stories through the scripture that we see where God's providence and where God's power has taken care of his people. And if we look at the scriptures and we understand where God wants us to go, it helps us put our trust in God and our faith in God. Okay, Psalm 119, 104. Okay. Through his precepts, we get understanding. So we're going to get understanding from the Word, and it's also going to show us what's false about the way that Satan, the way the world is trying to get us to go. So it helps keep us on path, on track. And then Psalms 119:81.
My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word.
Okay. So through the word, it can help produce hope. It will keep us, it'll let us know that we have a hope of eternal salvation, that we have a hope of eternal life in heaven. And that hope gives us the strength to sustain us. Okay, we'll go ahead and come back to this section. And maybe pick up some people that haven't read before. Psalms 19:11. I can get someone to read that. Okay. Psalms 119:9, and if that person can also read Psalms 119:11. Okay. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which I think will be a familiar verse to all of us. But 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Clayton, could I get you to read that one? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And then also John 6 and 63. John 6 and 63. Anyone in this section? Okay, go ahead. Okay, let's go ahead and start with the first one. Psalm 19:11.
Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
Okay. I'm sorry, Psalm 19:11. Yeah, well, we do have 119:11. That's one of the other ones. But if you're there in 119:11, go ahead and read 119:9 as well. And then the person that had that reading, if they could read Psalm 19:11, we'll just switch those. No, go ahead.
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word.
Okay, thanks. So the scriptures is going to cleanse our sin when we do sin, and it's also going to keep us from sin, because we have that in our life. It's going to give us the strength to resist the temptations and keep us from sin. Okay, Psalms 19:11. Okay, so we're going to have a reward if we keep the words of God. And the only way that we're going to keep that is if we know and understand what He wants. So that's one of the reasons we need to be into His Word as well. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Okay, so it's through His Word that we're going to be equipped for the things that we do for good works, that we're going to be equipped for our life, for living of our life. Okay, John 6:63.
It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life.
Okay, so the words is where we're going to get our life, that is going to give us our life. Because through hearing the word is how we can become obedient to the gospel, to become saved. Through hearing the word, we're going to shape our life, give us the strength and the power to live the Christian life. So it's going to give us our life. Okay. Let's also take a look at 1 Peter 2:2. We'll come back over to this section. I need someone for 1 Peter 2:2. Okay, Ross, if you would. Jerry, if you could do John 8:32. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And then we need Ephesians 5:26. Anyone for Ephesians 5:26? Okay, Gary. Acts 20:32. Acts, okay, Henry. And then John 8:31. John 8:31. Okay. Okay, we'll start with 1 Peter 2:2. Okay. So the word is going to help us grow. For our life, for our Christian life to grow, we're going to have to study. And that's going to come through His Word. Okay, John 8:32.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Okay. So His words are going to set us free. Ephesians 5:26.
That He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word.
Okay. So we're going to be sanctified through His Word. That means we're going to be set apart. It's through letting the Word grow in us and dwell in us that we're going to be different from the world around us, that we're going to be set apart and dedicated to the Lord. It's a decision that we make, but the way that we get there is through His Word growing in us. Acts 20:32. Okay. The inheritance that we have, the hope that we have, is the promise of eternal life in heaven. And we know about that, and we can be assured of that through the words in the scriptures. John 8:31. Okay. So the words of Christ is what makes us His disciples, as we understand, as we follow, and as we incorporate those into His lives, into our lives. So to be His disciples, we have to have His words in us. Okay, and also we'll come back over to this side. We've got one more to read, and it's 2 Peter 1:4-10, which is a fairly long passage, but it's 2 Peter 1:4-10. Lawrence, would you be willing to read that one?
Second Peter one,
4 through 10.
Verses 4 through 10. You will never stumble.
All right. So it's through his word that we're going to not, that's going to keep us from being barren and unfruitful. And by extension, you know, if we keep his word, we will be fruitful. And we'll be a blessing to those around. And also, it's through his words that it's going to keep us from stumbling. It's going to keep us from falling. If we take those things and put them into our lives, it's going to direct our steps, our thoughts, and our words and our actions. And there's a lot of other scriptures that we could look at about what we would get from a study of the scriptures. But let's take a look at what our attitude needs to be as we approach the study of the Word of God. The first thing is we have to have humility. Because if we are coming with the idea that we already know everything, if we're coming with the idea that, you know, this isn't true, but I'm a sophisticated Greek scholar, I know everything in this Bible, and I know what God should have written, you know, we're not going to have a profitable study if we come with that idea. So we need to have the humility that we are a child of God and we want to understand his word and his will. You know, we need to have the idea that God still has things he's teaching me. There's things I need to still work on. And then we also need to have the attitude that I want to know God's will. You know, we don't want to come with the idea of, I know what I want to find, and so I'm going to look until I find it. Even though we may have some good ideas and some understanding of what the Bible's teaching, we need to make sure that we're coming to the Scriptures to understand God's will, not to prove our will. Even though we may come to the same conclusions when we study the Scriptures, you know, because if you're looking at baptism, you know, as you study those scriptures, you're going to come to the understanding that God demands us to be baptized to come into his kingdom, to come into his church. But, you know, we need to come with the idea that I want to see what God's telling me and go from there. Okay. Then we also need to come with a willingness, with an eagerness to study his word. You know, I'm sure through school, all of us have had some classes that we really enjoyed. And hopefully you've had one class that you really didn't like. Now, for some of you, it may have been the other way around. It may have been one class you liked and all the others that you really didn't enjoy. But, you know, but there's always, you know, probably for just about every one of us, there's always been at least one or more classes that you didn't like. Maybe the subject was one that was boring to you. Maybe it was the teacher that you didn't get along with, or you just thought they were totally out of it or whatever. And so you dreaded going to that class. But when we go to the Scriptures, we need to go with an attitude of joy, an attitude of enthusiasm, you know, as something that we look forward to. You know, there may be some times when we go to study because we feel obligated to. And, you know, sometimes that may be the only way that we're getting there, and so that's all right. But hopefully most of the time we go to look at God's Word because we want to, because it gives us joy and gives us understanding. And then we need to also look at the Scriptures with self-examination. You know, because James is talking about those that look into the mirror and then go away and forget what they've seen, relating that to those that look into the Scriptures and then go away and forget what they've seen. Because it's not going to do us any good if we're reading about what we want to change our life to. What God wants us to do is as soon as we read it, we shut it up and we go back and do exactly what we've done before. So we need to make sure that when we look into the Scriptures, we ask ourselves, how does that apply to me? You know, how am I going to make my life change because of what I'm reading? You know, what are the things that I need to work on to make my life in accordance with God's will? Okay, so that's some of the attitudes that we should have. But when you go to the Scriptures, what are some of the tools that we need? I know we've talked a lot of times about the difference between a translation and a paraphrase. And when you're studying, your primary Bible needs to be a translation. You want one as close to word for word as you can get. Now, sometimes it may be a little difficult with the language. But, you know, the King James is difficult to read and understand sometimes. But the King James, the New King James, American Standard, the New American Standard are all good translations to be your primary study Bible from. The NIV can also be used. There are some passages that need to be aware of. Especially for your primary study Bible, I would stay away from a transliteration or from a paraphrase. Sometimes those are good to read to kind of give you an idea of things, but with a translation, the people that are doing the translation are trying to convey exactly what the Scripture says. When you get to a paraphrase, the authors are trying to convey what they think God was saying in modern language. And with the transliteration, they're trying to basically be in the middle between those two to give you something that's easy to read but is fairly close to the Scriptures. So you want to focus on having a good translation for your primary study Bible. And then, you know, you can read some of the other things to go along with that to kind of give you an idea of what other people are seeing. And also, if you have a biblical encyclopedia, a dictionary, a Bible dictionary, and just a plain dictionary, those will all help you. A lot of the younger people, I'm sure, have it on their iPhones, and even some of the older people. I know my wife has a lot of helps and scripts on her iPhones where you can actually look up stuff. You can look up meaning of words. You can look up Bible maps, Bible terms, and all those sorts of things. And so you've all got that right at your fingertips. But something that will help you understand some of the words and terminologies, maybe some of the relationships, because when you're reading in the New Testament, especially the Old Testament, you can see where some of these cities and countries are in relationship to others, and just helps you understand the Scriptures better. And then also, commentaries are a good thing that can give you some insights. Just remember, when you're using a commentary, that's not inspired. That's somebody that's a human. You know, they may have done a lot of research, and they've done a lot of reading, and they may have some really good ideas. But remember, you know, to compare what you're looking at, what they say in comparison to the Bible. You know, don't go to them as the primary authority. Okay. And as we finish, you know, just the idea that we want to work on increasing our study time. You know, I'm sure everybody in here has a different amount of time that they spend each week reading and studying the Bible. And I just want to challenge you to increase that time, you know, this week and over the coming weeks. You know, you may want to just start out with something simple. You know, just increase it 15 minutes the first week. You know, 15 minutes for the whole week, or, you know, 15 minutes a day, depending on how much time you already have spending with it. And then just work on increasing that time you spend in God's Word. Thank you all very much. And thanks for those that read and those that listened.